This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How you doing, America? What can I get for you?
Does Santa really work in the North Pole?
No, he don't work. He lays on the couch and he drinks all day. He's trifling. I have to pay all the bills. He kind of like your mama. Now, bye. Next!
Okay, Medea, this is where you'll be working.
Okay. I need y'all to go get me some scratch off. There's 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah, I need some help.
Hold on, because somebody's screaming at me. I'm getting ready to choke the hell out of her.
Mom, I'm not going to be able to come home this year.
It's Christmas.
I'll come up there. I could ask your Aunt Medea to come with me.
Your daughter is grown. Leave her alone.
I'll pay you.
What time you going to leave?
Surprise!
Who are you?
I'm Connor.
Mama, Daddy.
Well, Miss Bidet, looks like we're going to be spending Christmas dinner together this year. Did you hear the one about the 2 rabbis and the black dude?
Did you hear the one about the stray bullet that killed the redneck for telling the story about the 2 rabbis and the black dude?
This holiday season.
Lacey, yeah. You do not have a Christmas tree?
Just leave this child alone. She's living her life. She's happy out here in the farm playing old McDonald's.
When help is needed.
God, these nipples so tough, you need a mammogram. You got to pull them things. You got to pull them hard. Pull them. Pull them.
You all right?
I done fell in book.
When children need a little guidance.
The Bible says that when little baby Jesus was born, he was born to the Virgin Mary, J. Blige.
And when everyone could use some wisdom.
Good morning, Miss Mandela.
Not Mandela, honey. Medea.
What are they doing here anyway?
Hush up, dragon lady.
Medea's got the gift.
This is Christmas. You got to be nice to people. Pass it on, niceness. I ain't taking my medicine this morning.
What medicine?
5 milligrams of don't choke that hoe. Merry Christmas.
Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. Not you. Look how you jumped on. I'm talking to you. Go see A Medea Christmas. You're going to enjoy yourself.
Okay, it's me, Nicole Byer, and you are?
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
This is the 5th episode of our 3rd season of Newcomers, where we're working our way through Tyler Perry's body of work. Oh, for the first time, with the help of Perry scholars, super fans, and sometimes people who've contributed, this season's going to only be 10 episodes, so we're not going to get to everything.
But people are begging for more, and honestly, we might give in because...
We might!
I don't know. I'm having fun. I don't feel ready for it to end so soon.
Me either.
Yeah, no.
So today... We've experienced a subgenre within the Medea cinematic universe, a Medea holiday film. So we watched A Medea Christmas. It came out in 2013, and we'll be revisiting more movies and TV shows in the weeks to come.
To come.
To come.
To come. If you want to watch this movie, it's available on DVD and for a fee on YouTube, Google Play, Apple TV Plus, Amazon Prime, and Vudu. We will obviously be giving spoilers. We're going to walk through the whole plot. So if you don't want to watch it, you can just hear us talk about it, which might still be as enjoyable. And also, I would have a hard time even classifying this a holiday movie. I mean, I want to get into this, but it's so not about Christmas.
No.
I mean, what were your initial thoughts, Nicole, before we bring our guest out?
My initial thoughts was this felt a little Hallmark movie-esque.
Totally.
Or Lifetime-y. But then those movies are like, when it's a Christmas movie, it is Christmas. Christmas, Christmas. And then this one was like, oh, I guess Christmas is happening. Well, there's the Jubilee.
I know. I feel like it was, like, there were just moments of Christmas. Like, at the beginning, I was like, okay, it's going to be super Christmas. Like, Madea, like, works at a department store and is dressed like Mrs. Claus. And I was like, this is fantastic. And I could have watched that for two straight hours. And then, of course, she, like, quits in a huff. And, like, then we never go back there again. And there's no point to any of that. And so you're just like, okay, what? But then, and then this is where I thought, okay, there are white people in this movie who aren't racist, but all they want is the Jubilee. And then I was like, yes. I don't know that I want to be a white person in this movie screaming about the Christmas Jubilee and how it has to happen. I do feel like that is what made it feel like Lifetime-y. But we needed more holiday stuff, really. I don't know. I needed more silly.
I was just so confused as to, like, they were going to defund the school to fund the Jubilee. And I was like, how are these two connected? Is there one teacher? Is this school a home?
I know. The principal's like, we have multiple teachers teaching multiple classes at this point. And I was like, you got to figure it out. You got to
figure it out. Show me. Don't tell me. Like, you have one hallway, one classroom where you keep shoving different pieces of furniture where Tika Sumner, she truly had to, like, scurry around something to get to her desk. I was dying.
The kids were absurd.
The kids were so good. He's dirty.
And the accents. He's dirty. He doesn't know the answer. He's covered in dirt. I'm like, oh my God. And then that kid looks like he looks like Katie Holmes' child and is like literally Justin Bieber.
Okay, we'll get to it. But when she went to the house to be like, he's got to go to a special art school. And then we finally hear him sing at the end. I was like, he doesn't got to go to any kind of school. He's fine.
Singing at the end. Okay, I can't wait. Okay. We need to bring our guest out.
Yes.
Okay, we are so excited for our guest today. Jason Concepcion. Jason is a writer, editor, and producer known for creating and hosting NBA Desktop for The Ringer and co-hosting the podcast Binge Mode with Mallory Rubin. And he currently hosts the podcast Take Line and the weekly YouTube series All Caps NBA for Crooked. Welcome, Jason.
Oh, it's so fantastic to be here. Thank you so much. I'm such big fans of both of you.
Thank you for being here. Now, how big of a fan are you of Tyler Perry is the real question.
I am generally aware of Tyler Perry's body of work. I have seen bits and pieces of various Tyler Perry movies. I am a big fan of his work in Gone Girl. But this is the first Madea movie that I watched with a real kind of sense of presence and purpose. And in one sitting, really paying attention to it. And I'm also aware of, like, his, you know, that he's a Survivor super fan and that Meghan and Harry stayed at his house. That's the complete collection of my awareness of.
Well,
Tyler
we just
Perry.
Learned something with that Survivor tip. I didn't know he was a super fan.
Didn't know.
I would love to see him on, like, an Island Celebrity Edition. Like,
I also would watch it. I don't watch Celebrity or Survivor, but I would watch that. I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Well, fun fact about that, Lisa Welchel, who plays Nancy in this in Madea Christmas, she was in the season of Survivor that aired right before this shot.
Oh, wow.
So I have a theory that Tyler saw, she made it to the finals. And so I think Tyler saw her and then she won $100,000 for being everybody's favorite Survivor.
100%.
And I think Tyler saw that. And because she immediately got the audition, I went through like Variety. I went through all the things and it was like, oh, her first audition in literally like 25 years. she immediately went into audition and got the part. So I think this is a Survivor connection.
That is 100% what's happening. I love that so much. And, you know, I feel like he's really tapped in with pop culture. There were a couple moments where he quoted things, like he quoted Kenya Moore from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I spent time Googling which came first.
Me too. And I wanted to make sure because I was like, did she get this from Tyler Perry? She said it in 2013 and she originated Gone with the Wind Fabulous. This movie came out in 2013. I was like, he shoots very quickly. So he's like, you saw it. He improvised it within the film. And then it was there. I just loved it. I loved it. And there was something else I noticed too. I can't remember.
Ain't Nobody Got Time for That.
Yes, she was that Jubilee. Woman.
And then Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife was also the Jubilee.
He was bringing in every meme from that year, I feel like.
I love Tyler Perry. He's like, that's my idea. Nothing else. We're putting it in.
He had so many like long runs of improvisation in this movie that he left where he's like trying to get in the car. I liked it. But
when
I was
he
like,
got in the car sideways, Lauren, I died. You don't have to get a step from me. Oh, don't. Oh, my God. Now, Jason, do you like holiday movies?
I love holiday movies. I love holiday movies. I think one of the really fun things about this particular movie is how just on Front Street it was about the various influences from different, even though it wasn't, to your point, actually very Christmassy. It takes from various Christmas movies in a very obvious way. Like the beginning is Elf. There's a little bit of It's a Wonderful Life in there.
It's funny
there's
to take like from like a movie that came out like 2 days before this.
Did you also notice the like wipes on the screen were Christmas themed, but only halfway through the movie?
Exactly. I was like an hour and a half in, a jingle ball like goes across the screen. And I was like,
wait, what?
Have I missed these? And then suddenly that's how they get between every scene. I feel like he was like, we need more Christmas.
I had to rewind to make sure, because I had looked down for a couple of seconds and was just like lost on my phone for like 5 minutes. And then I saw that wipe and I was like, wait a second, have I missed a large portion of this movie that I was not aware that this happened?
We have talked about this. Like, if you look at your phone for a minute, you will miss like 10 things. And I did look at my phone and I looked back up and there was a full car accident flipped over. I don't know what happened.
Also,
but the man
same.
Was being rescued.
Yes.
Same. I had also looked down, looked back up and was like, what? Oh, wait, that's Chad Michael Murray?
It must have been a boring moment that we both were like,
maybe. And then I was like, is Tyler Perry going to blow up this car? Sure enough, he said, we got the budget for that.
Well, they didn't even have the budget for the crash. You joined the crash media res.
Oh, so maybe I did see what happened. And I just didn't understand what was going on because there was no context. He's just completely flipped over. The car is completely flipped over. And then suddenly... Well, who saves him? Medea?
No, her mom.
Eileen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Eileen.
She's amazing. And she goes out and saves that guy from the car. And it's like a whole, another morality sort of moment, I guess. Mm-hmm. But,
Can I ask you too? So I've been listening to the pod. But is, at least from my perspective, you know, I've seen other bits and pieces of other Tyler Perry stuff, and it seemed more plotted out, I guess, than this felt like Tyler Perry had an outline of scenes, and then he managed to get everybody for like a weekend. It was like, hey, does everybody have like 48 hours free? And then they just like improv this movie off the outline, because it kind of felt like, I'm not sure if there's any dialogue except for like maybe Chad Michael Murray and Lisa Welchel and some of the other people, but like Tyler Perry is just like going off top the entire film.
No, and I mean, there was, I feel like watching Eileen break with him was like my favorite thing.
Yes.
He made her laugh so much. Like, he's just going off and like fully just making stuff up. And I'm like, she was improvising with him. Like, clearly, like it was they were just improvising the scene, but I'm like, what was supposed to happen? Like, and there were so many moments where I wondered that, like, even when he's like, he's working at the department store and he like, the woman's like, I need a watch. And then he's like, he drops like all the watches on accident. Like, clearly it's a mistake. And then he just goes with it and is like, ooh, he looks at one watch and is like, it's my lunch break or whatever.
That woman, she learned those lines. She was so excited that she had a full scene in a Tyler Perry movie. And then Tyler Perry was like, you know what would be better if I improvise that I leave this scene?
And she was screaming, get back here. As if you would scream that at someone who works at a store. Like, uh-huh. Who cares? That was very very clearly made up on the fly, which I do love. And I love that Tyler Perry loves his own improv.
Yes, oh, yeah. Very, very much. And I watched a little bit of the outtakes with the credits. And
oh, my gosh.
There was a scene when they were walking through the hallway. Tyler's talking. Eileen, the mom, is talking. Tika comes in. And then everyone's kind of talking on one another. And then the boyfriend who gives her $100,000, the ex-boyfriend, he enters the scene with like a suitcase, but you're like, I don't know if he was supposed to enter at that point. And then Tyler Perry's like, okay, now we're all just talking on top of each other and the editor's gonna hate this. And I was like, but that's all you've given her. That's all you've given this editor. This whole movie is everyone talking over one another. And then there was another scene in the car where they were all talking over one another. And Tyler's like, this is a, I think he said, this is a two shot. There's a camera on me. There's a camera on you. And it was just, it really made me laugh. And I was like,
the bloopers.
Outtakes. Yeah,
that's so not a typical blooper of like the person, like being like that being the problem. You know, usually it's like you like, fall down or like say the line wrong and everyone laughs. But he's like, this won't work in the edit because we have two.
And it's like, they don't shoot enough content for bloopers. You get one take and you're done. Unless you're all talking over one another, then you get to go back.
There was one scene where Medea is with Larry the Cable Guy and
who,
Connor.
By the way, was kind of funny.
It was pretty funny in this. And they're like in the barn just talking about like, when's the truth going to come out? And man, poor Connor, I'm just watching the corners of his mouth twitch as he's just trying to remain straight throughout this entire extended whatever is happening. And he's just holding on by a thread.
Well, that whole storyline is so insane. I mean, yes. So Connor's the boy or the husband character that the family doesn't know that they're married. And then we have the boyfriend, Oliver, who's like, giving $100,000 to the school,
right?
Yes. Smiling the entire film, never is not smiling.
Only smiling.
He is her ex, apparently, but has no clue that she's married because no one knows. And then by the time like he goes in for a kiss, and she's like, "Oh," and, like she doesn't say like anything. Like, just you could say you're in a relationship. You don't have to say who it is. Like it was just so ridiculous. And at the end, he wants to give her a present for Christmas, and then he's like, he goes, Mrs. Like when she's introduced and Mrs. whatever. And he's like, Mrs.
It killed me.
And I'm like, that's what he found out. Like, what? Who cares? Like, I just thought it was so weird.
I mean, the whole arc of Eileen not wanting her to be married to a white man. And then the reason why.
The reason why.
So she told her daughter her dad was killed by a white man, but turns out he left her for a white woman.
And they were on Glee.
And yes.
Which I think was an improv moment as well. I was like, what are you talking about? They're in the cast of Glee?
I didn't understand that either.
This movie came out in 2013. In what world, if your father was the victim of a racial murder, would you not investigate it a little bit? Like, Google it and be like, let me just read some of the contemporaneous news coverage about that awful murder of my father by a racist.
Turns out, no, he just married a woman and they became successful actors, I guess. Because literally, Tyler Perry goes, and they're on Glee. And then someone else is like, I like that show. And then it's like, okay.
I think it was just repeated. It's like, they're on Glee. They're on Glee.
They're on Glee. They're on Glee. That makes all the sense in the world.
Should we do our news media?
Yes.
News media. So Tyler Perry and Showtime are developing Mabel, a Madea prequel series.
And I have to thank everyone for tagging us in this story on Twitter.
So it's a drama. It's a drama series that will focus on Madea's early life with an official description that reads, long before she was the force of nature known as Madea, she was a smart, fierce, irresistible, dangerous, crazy 20-something black woman named Mabel Simmons. When she moved to Atlanta in 1972, she set the city and the world on fire. Twin sisters Janika James and Jashika, I think, James, are attached to write and executive produce. Their credits include, Empire and the reboot of Gossip Girl, the upcoming reboot. So the drama will be there.
I'm excited about this. What I really want to know is the casting. Yes. I'm like, who is Madea?
Is Tyler Perry playing Madea?
If he's doing like reverse This Is Us and like playing young and a woman, and it's a drama.
Right?
Also, this is the weird thing about Madea. It's like, these Madea movies are not humorous for the most part. Like, there's moments of humor. So I get that it's a drama, but it's so funny because like, what is going to be happening? Is it going to be a man playing a woman? And then that's kind of inherently silly with the way he dresses and does the whole thing. So then, but she's 20 and she's like got this whole life. I just need to know like everything about this.
Yeah. But then also I'm like, can I play Madea?
That's what I want. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Can I please be Madea?
That would be the best improvise. Fucking thing. I can improvise. Thing.
Let me be Madea.
Oh my God. I would love that so much. How about the part when Madea lowered her voice and just Tyler Perry did a really deep voice for 2 seconds?
Oh my God, that was so, it was just, what a record scratch moment when all of a sudden he just like drops, hello, and just drops it. And you're just like, wow. Oh my gosh.
It's Nicole, so I feel like funny. If we started a Twitter campaign, you would be cast in this. Like
maybe we should start it, because all I can think is like, I think maybe when I'm an old woman, I will look like Tyler Perry as Madea. You know, maybe my titties will sag.
The tits in this movie.
Mike, when she runs away from the KKK meeting, which is also an insane part of this movie.
I literally don't know what you're talking about. And I'm shocked.
So they go to a rest stop because Madea's like, I got to pee. Pulled over here. Right. And then there's a man sitting there and she's like, where's the restroom? And he points to across the street. She opens the door. It's a full-blown Klan rally.
I did not see
rally.
This. And I need people to give me a break because there's a lot happening. Okay. I missed this scene.
But, Lauren,
but then that explains when
the sheet is over,
sees the sheet
Larry,
on
the
him.
Cable,
okay.
Because they've already seen the Klan.
So I was like, what a
action.
Jump to. Okay, that makes more sense. Wow.
But when she
I
runs
it.
Away, I'll find it and send it to you. Her titties, she runs in a way where she pushes her titties with her arms and they flop so close to her face. And when I tell you, I
mean, that's funny. They were very uneven in this movie. And I also enjoyed her ass in the Santa Claus outfit.
It was low.
It was low.
It was low.
It's very humorous.
One thing to add in that truly incredible scene. So they had left Atlanta because they were going out to the farm where Lacey Tika Sumter now lives with her husband. And they pull, as you say, they pull up to the rest stop and the man isn't just like, doesn't just point it out. He's like just sitting on the curb, like whittling a stick,
you
know, in a manner that seems like something out of 1885.
I
feel
nuts.
So insane that I missed that scene because that's crazy. But like that really goes to show like what happens in 30 seconds in this movie. Like, I mean, like I was not very distracted. So I clearly missed that. But
it's a
that's
quick
wild.
Scene, too. I don't even know if it's a full minute. It's so quick.
I love it. I love it so much. It moves so fast.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And we're back. We're back with A Madea Christmas, written by Tyler Perry, directed by Tyler Perry, starring Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm.
It was released December 13th, 2013. Should we go through this summary, the plot summary?
Okay, so Medea's great niece Eileen talks her into getting a job at a local department store during the holidays. This could have been the whole movie.
Yep.
She gets fired the first day after taking personal calls and straight talking a woman who wants to buy lingerie. Oh, that was, yes, this woman's like, oh, I want to buy some lingerie. And then Tyler Perry or Medea's like, for you? You're like,
yeah.
You don't get to wear lingeries no more. Uh-uh. No, nobody wants to see you in lingeries.
No. She was like 60 or something.
Yes.
Didn't she say something like, no one wants to see you with like a floss in your butt or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Straight up body shames this poor woman until she leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny. Meanwhile, Eileen's school teacher daughter, Lacey, finds out her school won't be able to fund their annual Christmas Jubilee, which I was like, why is the school funding town Jubilee?
Why is the school funding it? Why are there 20 people in there screaming that we need to have the Jubilee? I was
going
like,
nuts.
The idea that these people care about this Jubilee is beyond me.
It's
I don't
so
know.
Wild. So then Lacey does an insane thing. She asks her ex-boyfriend Oliver to fund it through the corporation he works for, and he gets her $100,000.
Yeah, it's an really insane weird amount.
And then calls her mom to say she won't be home for Christmas.
And I love the moment when she got the $100,000 because everyone had to like really act like so excited. Mm-hmm. And for some reason that felt really fake. Like, I don't know. Like she like when she got it, she's like, $100,000, that's amazing. And then she goes out and finds Lisa Welchel, who's the principal, and she's like, we got $100,000. She's like, $100,000? That's amazing. And then it's also really funny that you say that was her first audition in 25 years because she was on Facts of Life. Like she was, you know, a very popular actress in the 70s, 80s, whatever. But it does feel like she hasn't done it in a while because it's very sweet, but it's like really over the top. And she couldn't believe the $100,000. And she was like crouching down like in it with excitement. Like, oh, wow, I got to go run and tell whoever. And like, it just felt like a little kid. Okay, so Eileen, determined to see her daughter for the holidays, brings Medea and Oliver with her to visit Lacey in Alabama as a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And the car ride is really funny. Like Medea's like telling Eileen, like, you don't have to yell at me. I'm like right here. It's like, honestly, it made her laugh. Like she was cracking up.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you're talking to me like I'm in coach and you're in first class. Eileen hopes that Lacey and Oliver will get back together. She does not know that Lacey is married to Connor, a white man. Lacey is surprised when they arrive and she tells them Connor is her farmhand in a panic.
Lacey brings Oliver to a town meeting and asks Medea to look after her class, which is insane.
One thing about her coming to the house, remember when she goes in the kitchen and she's like, it's yellow in here. Like Medea like insults the set design, which I do think was like completely off the cuff.
Imagine like, that was her first time seeing it. And she was like, they went with yellow. It's yellow in here. And they left it in the movie. So, okay, well, Medea tells the class her version of the first Christmas. A student steals her purse. She notices it and then crucifies this child.
She literally ties her. Legitimately crucifies a child.
She ties her to a cross with Christmas lights, puts a wreath on top of her head, and puts the Christmas lights in the child's mouth so she cannot speak. And that is one of the least crazy parts of the movie, I would say.
Yep.
So meanwhile, Connor's parents, Buddy and Kim, arrive. So that's Larry the Cable Guy and Kathy Najimy, right, arrive at Connor and Lacey's house for Christmas and are told to keep their marriage a secret from Eileen. They're keeping Connor and Lacey's marriage a secret. They play along with the cover up, and Eileen offends Kim by cutting down her father's memory tree, which was so wild, and showing no remorse for the act, which was weird. Like
it's so weird. You wouldn't at least be like, "Oh, my bad. I'm sorry about that."
Like, yes. She was like, "There's something wrong with that." And she's like, "It had a yellow ribbon on it." She's like, "What does that mean?" She's like, "Anyone knows a yellow ribbon means something." They don't even really explain what a yellow ribbon does mean, but they were just like, if there's a ribbon on it, you would think maybe it meant something, which is true. And after Eileen witnesses Buddy flirtatiously chasing Kim with a sheet over his head, I wouldn't say he was chasing her. They were in bed. Yes. They were about have sex, probably. She's convinced they're part of the KKK and bars the doors to the room she and Medea are sharing.
Wait.
Oh, and Medea had...
We have to... So, okay. When Connor's parents, Buddy and Kim, arrive... Tika Sumner's like, I can't tell my mom that I'm married to Connor. And they were like, why? And then she was like, my mom wouldn't approve. And then Larry the Cable Guy's like, does your mom think in black and white? And then they're like, oh. And then Kathy Najimy goes, I never taught my kid to see anything but people's hearts. And then in the next scene, they're like, Medea, you're black.
So much. There's like, that's like the whole back and forth of the conversation. And Medea's like going along with it. And then who was it who's sitting there watching it who gets uncomfortable? Is it Connor? Or I can't remember who was watching
it
that.
Might
and he's
be
like,
Connor's like, Connor, oh, Connor, I better get my dad a beer to calm him down.
He was like, keep drinking the beer, dad. And I thought like, this is going to lead to like him falling asleep or something. Like, I didn't know what, but nothing happened. There was no reason for that.
When Eileen walks into Buddy and Kim's bedroom, she just like straight up comes in. It's nighttime. They're in there together. She knows a couple is in there, and she doesn't even, there's no knock. There's no anything. It's just, I'm coming in to see what's going on in here.
Yeah. And it's, of course, very weird. But also, because I missed the KKK scene, I was like, why is she, does she think they're having sex? Like, I thought she thought they were having sex. And I was like, I don't get it because it doesn't look like sex at all. It looks like really weird.
But also, it doesn't look like a Klan meeting.
No, it, like, it doesn't.
I mean, that would not be what the Klan does. They
he
don't
just
like,
has like a bed sheet on his head.
Yes. If anything, it's like, oh, I guess they're playing like the ghost game. I don't like.
It was so weird. But Madea had a couple really funny moments in this movie where she says numbers. Did you catch those? Where she was like, my car has like 550 mm-hmm. billion, 1,000 million, 1,000 billion trillion miles yeah. on it. And when you turn it on, the screen says, don't go in me.
yeah. Don't take me nowhere. Yeah. Madea is just funny.
She's funny. I know. You can't deny
Tyler
it.
Tyler Perry improvises in a way where he knows he's the funniest, yeah. so he doesn't give you room.
No, 100%.
There's no air.
There's no air for anyone.
Nobody like has a topper ever. Mm-mm.
No, there's like, never.
Which is, that's part of what makes it feel so odd, I think, is that there's never yeah. a button from somebody else. He will just keep going until they go like, they're about to laugh and then mm-hmm. he's done. And like, it's, but I even, see that it's fun.
Even the outtakes are, Tyler Perry's improvising. The scene has gone completely off the rails to the point where now in character, he has acknowledged that the edit won't work and we have to do something else. But then he keeps going for like an extra 10 or 15 seconds where he just keeps running the other person completely off the screen.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he must have figured out that at this point, like when he's in the editing room, like, He can make something work if he keeps talking. Like, he's like, it'll get funny again and it'll be good. I can use it. I just love it.
So Lacey finds out Oliver's corporation will only fund the Christmas Jubilee if it's renamed the Holiday Jubilee. The
corporation, like, what?
Yeah, they're trying to take the Christ out of Christmas,
but
baby.
It's, like, so, right. It's so silly. It's so silly.
The corporation is also funding the dam upriver, which has put all of the farmers out of work, which I was like, wait, what? They threatened to rescind the $100,000 funding if a nativity is allowed on the premises. Tanner, a parent at the school and Connor's childhood bully, demands Lacey be fired. As a result, she's immediately terminated by the mayor. The mayor fires a school teacher who then goes into the classroom that is now has a piano in it, her tiny desk, their tiny desk. And she's like, I'm sure your new teacher will be incredible. And they're just like, okay, I guess this is how life goes for us.
So ridiculous.
Well, that entire class was sociopaths except for Bailey. The entire class was just literally the meanest fucking kids ever except for poor Bailey.
Bailey's whole deal, like, so in the first minute of the film, like, he's singing in the bathroom and then the teacher's like, was that you? And then he's like, no, ma'am.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you're the only one in there. And he's like, but he's there's something so weird about this kid, and like I couldn't put my finger on it. And then at the end when he sang, I was like, oh, they hired a singer. And then they were like, can you be an actor in the scenes? And he was like, sure. And then they like figured it out.
Also, I thought he was being abused.
Me too. Why was he covered in dirt?
Yes. Yeah, I know. The makeup was literally, they rubbed just like a little bit of dirt on one cheek.
A little bit.
And his parents are not dirty. They were just like, you know, poor. But farmers, it was like just, why is he covered in dirt? I don't know. Very weird. Okay, so Lacey's conflict at home reaches a boiling point when Eileen and Kim argue. Lacey tells the truth about her marriage to Connor. Eileen reveals her husband left her for a white woman and that she lied to Lacey her whole life by saying he was killed by a white man.
So nuts.
Eileen storms out, hoping for a taxi to pick her up, which seems like, impossible.
I mean, they're in the middle of nowhere.
She called no one. She's just sitting like on the lawn.
Like it's going to drive by.
Yeah.
Lacey then tells Connor that Tanner got her fired, and Connor storms out of the house in a rage.
Like he's so mad. As Eileen walks into town, she sees Tanner in his overturned burning truck and saves his life.
It's
Connor
so
walks up to the scene. He punches Tanner because he's still angry at them getting Lacey fired. Imagine seeing a car that's just blown up. A man with a cut on his head and being like, I should hit him.
Yeah.
He's staggering. He is staggering out of the wreck in the arms of an older woman. He can barely walk.
he ends, and your first instinct is, I must punch this man now. and then Connor somehow after this punch gets Tanner, like Tanner apologizes. Tanner's like, I'm sorry for everything.
Yeah, yeah. His whole character is just a lot.
So Michael Murray. So much, but he's doing so little and is in so little of the movie, but every piece he's in is a lot. And then he's got like a henchman who like is just like, yeah,
why?
No. Okay.
Chad Michael Murray's entire energy and like facial expression was, oh my God, I'm so scared that you will improv around me. Like he was hanging on to whatever shred of the script was there, like with both hands.
True.
Like, please don't go off the script too much.
And it feels really true because it felt like he was really weirdly cast in this movie. Like it did feel kind of random. And I think that's part of it is like you have to be willing to go with the flow if you're going to be in this movie because it's not going to follow whatever you think it's supposed to do.
Also, did you know Connor, played by Eric Lively, is Blake Lively's little brother?
Wait,
no?
What?
Yes. The nice man who lives with me Googled it. And I think I don't think he was lying to me. I think it's true.
Wow, that's crazy. That is, I wonder how many truly how amazing. Much he acts or like what his deal is. So Connor demands Eileen get in his truck so they can return home. But Tanner follows Connor to apologize for everything and to thank Eileen for saving him. And following the events, Eileen accepts Connor and Lacey's marriage, which at this point it's like, come on.
Yeah, it's like she's been married. You have to accept it. Yeah. Also, Tanner's wife somehow at that point has made a pie. For them?
Oh my God, yeah. She's you saved his life. And then she's like smelling the pie like, wow.
I have never smelt a pie like that. She truly smelt it like it was a perfume sample. She like lifted it up to her nose. In a way that I was like, I feel like it would slide right out of the pan. It's freshly baked. At the Christmas Jubilee, Lacey thanks the corporation and announces their promise to help the town. The promises were not in the original agreement, but she knows the repercussions the sponsors will face if they back out. Afterwards, she reveals to Oliver that she's married to Connor.
Which, like, okay, so yeah, so she goes, she has like her speech, and she basically just starts making up all the things that the company's going to do. They're going to give $100,000 every year for 4 years, and they're going to have 100,000 gallons of water go downstream so that the farmers can get the water. And everyone's like, yay. And there's like one guy who works at the company who's like, but he doesn't do anything. He just like is going to do all that stuff, I guess. Like, I'm like, he's not going to do any of this. Like, the company will not be filling this prophecy.
Also, it's like, what company is this that they're putting up dams and that they're funding jubilees?
I don't understand how the whole town works.
The economy of the entire town, just a note, I think is way too dependent on the Christmas Jubilee to stay above water. Like, everybody is way too concerned that the Jubilee might not happen. Is it really that bad that if the Jubilee doesn't go, that a whole town might go under?
Like, they're standing in the school principal's office. The mayor is saying it's not going to happen. The 20 white people and it's all the people that are there are just like angry white people who are like, you have to do it. And then they're like, why is this happening here? It's so confusing. And I just think about the whole like plot of this movie, just thinking about even Jason, if it is an outline that they're just like loosely going with, I'm like, this outline's out of control. Like, starting at the department store, going to the school, the Jubilee's funded by the school, which is already underserved. Like, they don't have enough teachers for the classes.
But they only have 10 students. School is in a house. It is a weird little house. It makes zero fucking sense. And I love it.
I mean, I wanted more Christmas. I really was like, I just wanted more red and green. Like, I felt like it just felt like there was this opportunity to make the whole thing feel really Christmassy that just wasn't there. Like, even when by the end, like then Lacey, where she's like, my dad was killed on Christmas Eve. And I'm like, yeesh. Like,
but it's like, also
I
want
to
like,
have like holiday fun. Like, you don't have to just mention Christmas Eve as being a really bad thing. And that wasn't even true, which is another one of those, like in the last one we watched, like,
Tyler Perry's like, this woman I'm having an affair with is pregnant with twins. And then he's like, just kidding.
Just kidding.
And like, that's like this whole thing, like, your dad was killed by a white man. Okay, no, he wasn't. He ran off with a white woman. It's like, that changes your whole mentality about your life. Yep. Like, you have been thinking about life a certain way, and it's not true at all.
Imagine finding that out. Imagine living at this point, I mean, you know, Lacey is, you know, 25, 26 or something like that. Living your entire life believing that you are the victim of a murderous hate crime that tore apart your family in the most brutal fashion imaginable. And then your mom being like, actually, no, he left. And fun fact, he's on Glee.
With the woman. Yeah, like, you can see your dad right on Glee.
Yeah, would you like to,
every
yeah,
he's week. On Glee.
Also, who is it on Glee? Is it Mr. What's his name? The teacher? Like Matthew Morrison?
That is the other weird thing about it, because Glee was so popular that like, and there were only like a set number of actors on the show that you're
there
like,
there were no black was male. The wait, teacher? Like a I don't black know if male adult?
Older man? I don't know. I don't think I can think of one.
Well, if anyone listening knows who Madea is talking about on Glee, let us know.
Yeah, because then that's who that is. And then so maybe it's like Lea Michele's the woman.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wait, I loved at the scene where the white people were mad about taking Christ out of Christmas when she was like, I need to say Jesus during Christmas. There's a bunch of bull. And everyone's like, no.
Yes. They screamed at her saying bullshit.
Don't do it. They can't say the shit word. Oh, boy. So many things in this movie really tickled me.
Oh my God. Same. Well, okay. So, I mean, one of our questions here for you, Jason, is there anything you would punch up since you're a writer? I mean, obviously.
Oh my God. Here's the thing about this movie. You know, it's weirdly perfect because I think that, I think these movies really just shine when Tyler Perry just is given the runway and just takes off and goes. And there is so much of that in this movie. There are like a few interstitial scenes between like, Connor and the family and Chad Michael Murray's like extremely angry character, but it's mostly like, just like Tyler Perry just going. There's like a part in the department store scene where where Madea casually reveals that she had like a very extensive like marijuana growing and selling operation like at one point, and then just breezes past that.
Oh, it's he's like, I grew trees, and then she's like, what kind? And he was like, the kind that make you feel good, or like whatever. Like it's like, and then I think it's just to make the actress laugh. Like I don't even think there's any point.
Also, Medea's exit when she quits, when they were like, "All right, you need to leave," and Medea's like, "Okay, pay me," and like, "We'll send you your check in the mail." I didn't come work for the through the mail. I came and give me my money, and then hits the register, opens the register, takes money, takes two dresses, leaves the store, and does a twirl outside.
And that was so good.
I'll say this about Tyler Perry. I want to play a cartoon, and I get told so much, bring it down.
Yeah.
To where like you're like, oh, I guess it's not gonna be fun. But then you watch it and you're like, no, it's still funny, but it's not as cartoon like as you'd like it to
be.
And Tyler Perry's a full blown cartoon, and I want in. Yes.
I was fantasizing about getting to play a crazy character opposite Madea. I was like, this would be so fun to be like, if I was like in the family of like the farmers, and I'm just like a white trash like idiot screaming at Madea, like that would be the most fun thing ever,
right? How do we get Tyler Perry to let us be in a? I want to be, well, I want to be on the Showtime show because I want to play Madea.
Well, that needs to happen.
I want to be in a Madea movie, but I think she retired Madea.
But see, what we need is a Madea movie where Tyler is willing to let both of us be characters as well that are not like ourselves.
Yes.
And then we can be in the Madea level of the movie.
Yes.
But the problem
in prosthetics is like, oh my God, Madea goes to the old folks home. So they trick her into staying at the old folks home because nobody wants to like clean up after her anymore. And we're two old people at the home.
What you put in for?
Welcome to the home. And it's just called The Home.
Madea goes to the home. It doesn't happen until the last 5 minutes, and that's where we show up. Truly, because I did, I mentioned this, but I watched Madea Goes to Jail because we were supposed to record it last week and got canceled. And she doesn't go to jail till the end. And I was like,
go to jail. Like this, and the same thing with this movie being Madea has Christmas or whatever. I was like,
it doesn't happen till the end.
Give me a tree. Give me a jingle. Like, and then like just those jingle ball wipes were not enough for me. Like I was like, I'm not in the spirit yet, you know?
Well, let me ask you, you two have been, you're in the biz. So the budget for this was a reported $25 million. It then grossed something like $53 million and change. I feel like 25, are we padding this? Like, how much of that is going straight into like Tyler Perry's slush funds? Because there's no, there's three sets. And I think they filmed this legitimately in 2 days. And there's one overturned car where you don't see the car accident. Again, there's like no action. There's a little, I guess when the Ku Klux Klan chase, that's kind of a stunt, but not really. And then, you know, they crucify the child that, you know, so that was a little bit, that probably took some time. But it feels like, man, he pumps these out at an unbelievable clip. And
maybe
for
people
very
get
cheap.
Paid well.
And so that I was just hoping, hoping that like, oh my God, if he gives everyone like a good salary, then that would feel really good. And also, no, it might be what he does because he does get a lot of great actors.
That's
like
true.
Every movie that we've watched, there's like, you know, successful actors in it. And I mean, his movies are seen so widely that I would understand people doing it anyway. And it seems fun, but like maybe he does pay really well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Prilosec got, you know, like, did they pay for that? That native advertising within the film when Larry the Cable Guy says, I guess you should try some Prilosec OTC. I literally, my jaw dropped when he said that in the film.
That was like authentic recommendation from Larry the Cable Guy. I thought that was great. I feel like that was just a natural sort of moment of him giving real advice.
Because that is sometimes what improv is. You like speak through the character as yourself. You're like, this, I really like this. I just want you to know. We can get back in the scene if you want, but like, this is good for me.
Oh my God.
So this movie was nominated for 10 Razzie Awards, including Worst Actress, which Tyler Perry won for his portrayal of
Madea.
That's
so funny to be nominated for Worst Actress. Like, and it's a man. I like that we're all taking Madea so seriously in this way that they just put it in that category. Critically, the film was not well received. This is a theme on the show. It currently has a 20% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. The Hollywood Reporter wrote, bah humbug to this latest screen outing for Tyler Perry's inexplicably popular character.
I'm sorry, it's not inexplicable.
It's not inexplicable.
Watch it
funny.
And laugh.
It's
like,
not,
I don't
yeah,
know what...
Ex-
people are just too serious about this
stuff.
Yeah,
I agree.
But audiences liked the film, which is another trend that we see, giving it a 91% Google audience rating. Its budget was $25 million, gross $53.4 million at the box office. And it was number 3, its opening weekend behind The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, and Frozen, which are two heavy fucking hitters.
Yeah, I love that.
Big number hitters. 3?
Big hitters.
To come in right behind Lord of the Rings is so perfect for our show. That's so amazing. So we have some trivia here. This is the first Tyler Perry film to win a Razzie, the second to be nominated for one, and Perry won in the Worst Actress category, we know. And after Madea mentions Eileen's heartburn, oh, we already covered this, but he suggests she take Prilosec OTC. Larry the Cable Guy
was a
Prilosec OTC spokesperson.
Yeah, that's why I was like,
I didn't realize he was.
Me either.
He did the commercials. Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. That's really funny.
That's so funny.
So this was literally at that time working as the spokesperson. Then he was like, I'll put this in here. Like, that's like, that's just like a free, I hope he got a bump. Like, that's like free ad.
It's so funny. This is the 17th film by Perry, which to me is that he has done so many movies, 17 movies.
So
it's
many.
Insane.
That's only insane. By 2013. This is the 17th.
And this is the 7th film in the Madea franchise.
Oh my God, this is like, I mean, he's just so busy.
I think I read somewhere where he writes a script on average like in 2 days, and I heard that and I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah.
Like,
but see, if you let yourself just free flow in this way, like you would do it too. Like, it starts over here, it ends over here, there's like a whole thing, like this family hates each other for no reason, like it can go anywhere. I think that freedom really makes it, you know, just work really fast.
So the soundtrack for the film was released in stores by Motown Records November 25th. It was the first soundtrack to a Tyler Perry film since 2010's For Colored Girls, featuring artists such as Smokey Robinson, Mariah Carey, Brian McKnight, James Brown, Boyz II Men, Kelly Rowland, Jeremy, is that you say it? And Stevie Wonder. I didn't notice the soundtrack in this movie.
I also truly didn't clock a single song that I was like, not a single one. Okay.
And also, like, no Christmas songs. Like, that's the other thing.
None.
Like,
not a one.
This is not why one. He's so interesting, though, because you're like, so you're going to make a Christmas movie, which you should. Like, I kind of think, like, every musical artist should make a Christmas song. If you're Tyler Perry, you should have a movie for every holiday. Like, get the money where it is. Yes. Like, they're going to watch it every year. But to not take this opportunity to use every Christmas song and make it like feel really like wintry. It didn't even feel like winter. No. You couldn't even tell what season it was or where they were. I don't know.
They're apparently somewhere in the rural, like in rural Georgia or something like that, where
wherever it is,
the dam has done almost irreparable harm to the local agrarian economy to the point where no one can grow anything.
Oh, wait. Also, Connor, at one point, is sitting on the couch with, or not on the couch, on the front steps with test tubes, and is just playing with empty test tubes. And then later, he says to Tanner, "I figured out how to make a new variant of corn. Would you like to help?" And he was like, "I sure would." And I was like, "I don't know if that's how farming works."
Meanwhile, he tried to milk a bull.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
There is a scene, but see, I think that was just an improv moment too, because basically Connor says, "I can't get milk out of that one." And then Medea's like, and Medea had been milking a cow before this, like really successfully. But then she was like, the black and white one. Oh, well, there's a reason you can't milk that. You know, you can't get milk out of testicles or whatever. And then Connor, it was another moment where Connor was fully trying not to laugh. And he was just like, "I don't think I'm cut out to work on a farm." Meanwhile, he's making corn in a lab. I'm like, "I think you're cut out for it."
And
I don't know.
There was a bunch of improv about long titties, and then Medea falls down.
Oh my God. For 4 minutes, they talk about long nipples.
Yeah.
And how the cow had long nipples and Medea had long nipples. And like someone else had long nipples.
Like a, what do you call the thing that you decorate a cake with? Like a cake
decorating?
Oh my
God. I thought that was a great improvised moment. Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy says her titties look like cake frosting bags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess what I need is more Larry the Cable Guy, which is not something I knew.
I know, right?
Never thought I would say that. There was also the moment with Kathy and Jimmy where she was like, "You're like Jeff Foxworthy." He's like, "I could try." But so I was like, so that was like a funny, like he's making fun of himself. People must say that all the time. I thought that was funny.
One thing I wanted to, you mentioned it before, but Oliver, James Roach, who plays Oliver, who is the ex-boyfriend of Lacey, who gives them $100,000 for the Jubilee. You mentioned that he smiles throughout. And I think that really underplays how much he smiles and the variety of smiles. Like, he does smiles that I've never seen before, with the top of his face moving in ways that, like, the car drive where they drive out to the farm from Atlanta is really a showcase for his smiles, because he's just looking straight ahead. He's driving. And then he's like doing, I'm trying to do it, but I can't, like, he just moves the top of his face independently from the smile. And they're telling him sometimes like awful things. And there's in the scene when Lacey calls him and is like, "So how's your, whatever the name of the woman that he left her for?" And he went, "Oh, we're getting divorced." And he's smiling through all this. And she's like, "Yeah, good. She was fucking terrible." And he's just like, "Ha ha ha," with this incredible smile on his face the whole time. No matter what is happening.
She used some word too. It was something like, not hussy, but she said something like, it was a really weirdly dated word about this one. But then I was also like, that was mean. Like, I don't know about this one that he was married to.
It's like,
I feel like that's a running theme in Tyler Perry movies where people are just like vaguely mean or directly mean, and people are just going, "Well, okay, whatever."
Totally. And so he was like very, very happy to reconnect with her, just smiling. And I was like, okay, so he's like flirting over the phone. Like, and then the first scene I was like, okay, he's talking on the phone alone. So the actor is smiling maybe more than he should be or something. Like, I kind of just wrote it off like, oh, he's kind of smiling a lot, but I guess it's awkward when you're like doing a scene like that. Yeah. And then the whole time he's smiling.
No, the
and
whole
then
time,
he sees her and he's just like so happy.
doesn't take in at all that there's this man next to her who doesn't clearly yeah, shares a fine. Bed with her. Like, it's just like, if you yeah. thought for 1 second you could probably piece together that they're a couple, mm-hmm. why is he there all the time? Why are his parents there? It's like, no one puts it together.
I also couldn't believe that Lacey told Eileen that she owns a farm, yet she's doing right. no farm. So she bought a farm, has right. a farm hand, does no farming work because she's a teacher. And then her mother was like, okay, that means I could walk into any room I want, rip up any right. tree I want, because this is right. my daughter's land. You need to leave. everyone has just such strange ownership things with, like, it was just so weird.
Totally.
It's also just like a family of complete liars. Yes. Like, from top to bottom, the apple has not fallen that far from the tree. The mom is an unbelievable liar. The daughter is lying also, but I guess you could, for more understandable reasons. But they're just, the lies are, so we're to believe that a school teacher in a town that it has become destitute because the Christmas Jubilee may not happen, can afford to buy an entire farm and then have like a full-time farmhand who
yeah, it makes may or may no not sense. Live there? When you really think about that, it makes no sense at all. And then she gets fired and has this farm to deal with. It's like, I feel it would be a lot of pressure. I'm looking at Eric Lively's IMDb because I just wanted to get some sense of what he's been up to. So that was one of his last movies. He was in 2014, he was in BFFs, but that was right after Medea Christmas. And before that, he was in like American Pie.
Oh.
He was in Whoa. Butterfly Effect 2. So he had like he was on the L Word for 10 episodes. Wait a second. Was I got to figure out who he is.
Wait, congratulations. Who's on the L Word?
His name was Mark Wayland. Hold on. I got to.
Oh, I do think I remember that.
Mark Wayland was the new lecherous heterosexual white male for season 2. He moved in with Shane and Jenny when they needed money to help cover the rent.
Yes.
Amateur filmmaker places camera through the house to tape his roommates having sex. Yes. Yeah. I very much remember this. That's hilarious. Wow. That's a pretty big role.
It is.
But yeah, then I guess he stopped. I don't know why. That was a long time ago.
We got to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean,
Eric Lively, if you're listening, let us know why you stopped acting.
Keep going, please.
Please.
We need it.
Wait, is he producing something maybe?
That could
maybe
be
oh,
it.
I didn't scroll
maybe
down.
Maybe he's
that part.
Moved yeah, that to production.
I'm like, I hope so. I hope he's still in the business.
We love Eric Lively.
No, he's not doing anything. And then it says, is he retired? Where did this go?
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he started acting as a baby in 1983 film Brainstorm.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Then he was a model for Abercrombie and Fitch. Okay. As of 2020, he retired from acting, with his last role being in 2014 in the film BFFs.
Oh,
so he literally retired during the pandemic. He was like, you know what?
Fuck
I'm
this good. Shit.
I'm done. Yeah.
They were like trying to make him do self-tapes. He's like, I'm out. No,
no. I'll just fucking quit the business. I refuse to do a self-tape.
I think it's been horrible trying to like do these tapes because typically you have to do them anyway as an actor. Like every once in a while you get a self tape, you have to do it at home, have somebody help you. It's a whole big pain in the ass. But of course during the pandemic, it's every audition is like this. And then mm-hmm. they'll send you like 20 pages. And I mean,
they send so much and it's like, yes, I have the time, but like, why do you have me acting out the whole script?
It's so unnecessary. Like I always feel like you can just tell by other work that the person's done if they are right for it or not.
That's
like,
what
do
I
you,
feel.
How
like.
Do I'm fascinated by this? Do you have so? Do you just go, or do you have someone off camera like read the other person in the scene?
Yeah,
and you just go like against a white wall and just mm-hmm. do the entire
but
scene.
Even that's annoying because in my house it's like I have to like take something down or move some furniture mm-hmm. or like make something make sense to like get, and then they have to put a ring light up and mm-hmm. then you get in a fight with whoever's reading with you because you fuck up 10 times and then
yes,
they get annoyed
and then they're like, do you want to say it perfectly? And you're like, yeah. I'm gonna say it the way I've been saying it. You're like, well, you're missing this word and that actually makes it funny. And you're like, okay, well, we've been doing this for 2 hours. And they're like, well, you know, you asked me for help. It's truly a whole thing.
And you really can't hold your script because when you're doing it at home, like you basically don't have the excuse of time. Like right. you yeah. have time to have read it. So then when I go audition in a room with people in real life, I would bring my script and hold mm-hmm. it and then glance at it and it's fine. But it feels yeah. wrong to do at home.
You
because
you cannot
like,
do it at home because you yeah. have the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you're going to send a tape of like your best take, it should be without the script.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so you end up wasting so much time trying to make a 1 5-minute video that no one ever watches for some reason and gets zero views on Vimeo. And then you're like, okay, no one watched it or something. Cares, and then they cast like a really famous person. And you're like, oh, so then they never wanted to see my thing. It's just like, it's just torture.
And yeah. you post them to Vimeo like locked and then you give people
a send a link. So I like upload mine to Dropbox and then send a Dropbox link.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole process.
And that's the industry, baby.
And that's how it all works.
Yeah.
Eric Lively was like, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm not doing this. It's like, I win them over in the room.
That's right.
I can't win you over in a self-tape.
It's not working.
Which is half the problem.
I feel like if we just keep going as actors, we eventually will audition for a Tyler Perry film and we eventually will be in one. Like, he's making 20 things a day. Mm-hmm. Like, there's enough content being made that we can fill a role somewhere in there. I will be like an angry like shopkeep or something. Like,
I want to be Madea's long lost daughter, and it's never explained how Madea didn't know she was pregnant. Like, it's just never explained.
That's good. That's good.
They're like, Madea, you had a child? She's like, blah, 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 I don't know.
She would be like, you fell out one day. Like, I'm sure like Madea just become 20 versions of how that happened.
I mean, I have no aspirations to act, but there is an Asian woman in this. She tries to buy a watch from mm-hmm. India, and Mia basically yells her out of the department store. Are there any, like, if I wanted to try out for a Madea movie, do you think I'd have a shot? Like, are there any Asian people in these movies ever?
I feel like I was initially thinking that there were no white people for the first like few that we watched, and then mm-hmm. they have started to come in. So I'm like, I don't know how it goes as the films go on and more, you know, he's expanding himself more, but I don't feel like there have been any prominent Asian characters in these movies.
No, I don't think so either. But then again, we're like just dipping our little toes in.
We have only like five That's things. Right. So he's made 150. I feel like there's gotta be... I initially thought there was no room for me in the franchise at all. I was like, I think I can't get cast. But then I saw that I could be a Klan member, and I thought, oh, okay. Yes.
Imagine posting on Instagram. You're like, guys, tune in to my new role. I'm on Tyler Perry's House of Everything. I play a Klan member. Honestly, I would like repost it. I'd be like, support my friend Lauren, who's in the Klan. Oh no, I hope someone doesn't take that snippet out.
No.
But
that is even the crazy thing of this movie, like people being cast as being Klan members and then being like, I'm in the movie. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't think this is good.
This isn't good at all.
You don't want a picture of yourself in that outfit.
Yeah. I don't know. If I was a white person, I think I'd be like, I think I have to turn this down. I don't think I can do it.
No, it's like going against too many things.
Right? It's too wild.
And pictures live forever online.
They sure do.
Do you think that they're like, besides Madea, do you think that there's a lot of like makeup, hair and makeup, like for the rest of the cast? Like because Eric Lively, again, who plays the husband, seems like he just showed up on set and then they were just like, that's fine. Your hair is that way. And we're just going to go. Which is not to say that like he looks bad, but he just looks like really like a farmhand and shaggy in a weird way where I don't understand why Lacey and he are together at all. Like,
I did wonder about that. I'm like,
where did the spark happen?
Yeah. Like, what is this couple? And like, they're on totally different pages.
Yeah.
But
how did they meet? How is her hair so neat?
And like, she's in love with him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
But I will say the whole hair budget went to Madea. Madea's wearing a stunning lace front that is pretty great. Eileen, her wig, terrible. Lacey's, her hair is good because I think she came with it done. I don't think anyone did it on set. Kathy and Jimmy's wig is pretty funny. I like her wig. I thought they did a nice job with it. Amber Tanner's wife, nobody brushed her hair. Nobody was kind to her. Even in the picture in our like character sheet, she has... all of these flyaways, like nobody helped her.
Her hair is so bad. It's so crazy. Madea looked really good the whole time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone's focused on Madea looking good.
Yeah. That's really funny. Connor's hair does look really, he just took like random regular scissors and just started cutting like pieces.
Yeah, in between growing new corn and test tubes, he was cutting his own hair.
And he was literally an Abercrombie model. So you're like, this person is attractive, but they have done everything they can to make him look like he doesn't matter.
Oh, boy. These movies, they are fun. I'm like having like this one. I do not think is good. No. I think this is a fundamentally bad movie, but I had fun watching it. I will say, so I was like watching it with John and the nice man who lives with me. And I was like, guys, let's watch this. I love Madea. And we were watching it. And midway through, I was like, okay, this one isn't as like great as the other one.
Yeah. It's hard because you start to feel defensive of Madea. And then it's like, yeah. I have to admit this one's not that good, but like I did like a lot of parts of it, but but the parts I liked were the parts that I always like with Madea, which is like Madea being funny over the top and everyone having to play like it, like she's real. Like that's the part I really like is how everyone's reacting. Like she is just like this is a 100% authentic human. And you're just responding like you would like they never roll their eyes at her. They never think she's too much. It's always like, okay, Madea, like,
Madea crucified a child and was allowed to just leave the room. Yeah, you know?
She tied her to a large cross with Christmas lights, wrapped the Christmas lights through the child's mouth, and then left her hanging there for an unknown amount of time until the teacher returned to the room.
And when she's telling the story, when she's telling the nativity story,
crazy that happened. Like, that's a thing that happens.
No, it's so insane. Like she's like, has a minute and she's like, I'm going to tell you the story of the nativity. Mary J. Blige got pregnant and I'm just like,
it's so perfect. I just love how she was like allowed to just leave the room after that. There's this play called The Pillow Man where they talk about the worst thing that's happened in like a fairy tale. And it's a child being crucified.
Oh my God.
And it's like, this like big deal, and the Madea's like, I'm gonna do it for fun. Yeah. And it's just, it's so wild. I love it. Tyler Perry, I think, is a genius. I really
he's
think
extremely
he's
talented.
Just
he's
a genius.
I agree. This is a bad movie. I think the one thing that I really appreciate it about it, and the one thing that really keeps your attention on it, is it moves so incredibly fast. It's like a 100-minute movie. And especially when Madea is just doing her thing, there is just information and dialogue and jokes coming at you at an incredible clip that by the time my brain registered that, oh, this is not that good, actually, I had watched half the movie. Like, the movie was gone already. And there's like 30 minutes left.
That's so true. It's only when you really get to the point where you're like, how is this going to play out?
And then
they start to zip through stuff that feels like it needs more attention.
Right.
Or they just throw in some weird, like huge moments and you're like, okay, I guess that'll get to the point. Like that's when you start to wonder about the quality of the film, but it's still fun.
Yeah. I maintain very, very fun. I give it 18 stars. So we're at the end. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Listen to Takeline Tuesdays on the Crooked, which is wherever you get your podcasts. I host that podcast with two-time WNBA champion Rhea Montgomery. Watch All Caps NBA, which drops on the Takeline YouTube channel every Friday. Like and subscribe, 5 stars, all that. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. Well, speaking of 5 stars, this is our segment called, and here I go again, trying to say this. 5 hallelujahs. Okay. Look, it doesn't feel right coming out of my mouth. It doesn't feel right to hear it, I'm sure.
Perfect. I love it so much.
So this one comes from Miss Danny 537. And they said, you must watch. I'm a big fan of both of you, but finding out you hadn't seen these gems earlier was devastating. This season is my first and will be hard to top because my family just stares at me laughing out loud all day. Please, you have to watch Acrimony. And when you do, just explain the boat. That's all I ask. Do 15 episodes also. And then we got another one from Ada Mack. Perfect family fun. This podcast is amazing. My brother and I listen every week and discuss topics afterwards. We both grew up watching Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, and Tyler Perry movies. What a combination. I'm excited to listen every week, and it's a joy to listen to. So, and then this other last person, Expansion 311, says more of the real MCU. The real MCU, which is the Madea Cinematic Universe, is the only cinematic universe that deserves 20 episodes or more with so much fun to have and drama to enjoy. Please do more. Nicole and Lauren make me want to listen to recaps of things I don't even want to watch. Hello, Star Wars and LOTR. And they make Tyler Perry's works even more fun to take in. Must listen and must do more than 10 episodes for Mr. Perry's work. So we will be considering this as we go forward.
We will.
I also, when I was flipping through trying to find this movie, I saw that there were some Madea plays that you can watch. Wow.
So some, I accidentally bought or rented Madea Goes to Jail. The play. And I watched a little bit of it. And I think we got to watch a play.
I think we have to. I'm really curious about what it's like. And I'm curious how it's filmed. But I think that's Tyler Perry's ideal situation to just do a one shot thing and have it be done in 2 hours and then you release it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No reshoots. It's live. He's like, yeah, we shoot this movie in 2 hours.
So please write us a review. That those reviews were so nice. And we will be reading more next episode. And we'll be back next week with another one of Tyler Perry's works. And I think if it is what I think it is, I'm very excited about this one because you've been telling me to watch this for a long time. So we will see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Was a HeadGum original.